Hi, welcome to the Read Play Talk podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Paris.
And I'm your other host, Jack Love.
This podcast is a resource for parents and caregivers as we educate on the importance of reading, playing, and talking with children every day. In this episode, we are talking with Jean Pricer, who is a pre-K facilitator in Mesquite ISD's Teaching and Learning Department about pre-K in Mesquite ISD.
Awesome. Welcome back, Jean.
And welcome back, Jack. You've been gone the last two episodes.
Yeah. I had an 8-year-old ear infection.
Yes. Well,
no, I didn't have an 8-year-old with an ear infection.
Sure.
I was an 8-year-old.
Well, we're glad you're back, myself, and we're glad Jean is back, too.
Although I'm sure it probably went a lot smoother without me, but
no, never.
Whatever. All right. Those will be your, like, four people will actually listen to those rather than just
the normal. Yes, exactly.
Team. All right. So welcome back, Jean. So you've been with us before, but why don't you remind us just a little bit about yourself?
I'm happy to be on with you guys again, so thanks for having me back. Like they mentioned earlier, my name's Jean Pricer, the pre-K facilitator for Mesquite ISD. I am a mom to a 16-year-old son, Austin, who is starting his junior year in high school, an 11-year-old daughter, Sophie, who's about to enter her first year of middle school. Kind of excited about that. And I'm recently engaged to my fiancé, Julio.
Yay.
So, yeah, I had an eventful summer. I grew up just down the road in Garland, and I attended college at the University of Texas in Austin, so hook 'em horns. I'm going into my 21st year in education, all of which have been right here in Mesquite ISD. I started out as a bilingual kindergarten teacher and have since taught everything from pre-K to fourth grade, except third grade. All of that was at Florence Elementary. I left the classroom to become an instructional coach at Augziger, and I did that for 3 years, and now I am starting my sixth year in this position as pre-K facilitator. And so what I do is I support all of our pre-K teachers with resources and curriculum, and I do some of the behind-the-scenes work to maintain our district's high-quality pre-K program. So early childhood is where my passion lies. The growth that you are able to witness in just these short years is amazing. These early years lay such a strong foundation that students can build upon as they begin their educational journey with us.
That is such an impressive resume. You've done like everything, starting from like the littlest of littles all the way till fourth grade. Is pre-K your favorite, or did you have a favorite grade that you taught?
Pre-K is my favorite. I did go home very exhausted, but it was all worth it. It's my favorite.
Yeah, I taught pre-K for a short while, just in a Mother's Day Out program, but it was one of my most favorite jobs because the growth you see in kids from August to May is tremendous. It's like almost unbelievable that it's the same kid that walked in your door in August.
Yes, I see that all the time.
So we believe that parents should be reading, playing, and talking with their kids every day. We really promote that parent-child interaction in the home, but we also believe that pre-K can be just a tremendous supplement to things that parents are doing in the home. Can you share a little bit about that? Like, what are the benefits of a child attending pre-K?
Man, I don't know where to begin because there's just so many. I'll start with this. The earlier, the better. So the earlier we expose our kids to learning experiences, the better. Brain development begins at birth, and that's when children start learning. Early learning positively affects brain structure, and during the first 6 years of life, the brain is developing at the most rapid rate, and it produces so many neural connections each second. So attending pre-K can help students with their cognitive and social development, meaning to say that you're not just being exposed to the academics, but they're also developing in their social emotional health as well by interacting with their teachers and their classmates. So they're learning to become independent and resilient as well just by being in a quality learning environment. Data also shows that it increases kindergarten readiness, helping young learners to develop strong pre-reading and pre-math skills. But it also improves academic outcomes lasting into like high school even, and even beyond. So children in early childhood programs are less likely to repeat grades, they're less likely to be identified as having special needs, and they're more prepared academically for later grades, more likely to graduate from high school, and they're even higher earners in the workforce. So it extends all the way into adulthood.
That's incredible. I'm glad you shared some of that data. Some I knew, but I had no idea about the workforce. But it makes sense. I know you said at the very beginning that brain development happens the most in those earliest years, which I think is so important for parents and families to hear. And I've said this before, but I think a lot of times families just think like, I just got to get my kid to 5 and then they'll go to kindergarten and then the school will take them from there. And that's when they'll I really begin to learn and develop and grow. But really, it's those earlier years before we even consider kids school aged that are the most crucial. And so I just love that yes, we want parents to do these things at home, but pre-K is an incredible resource and supplement to the work that families are doing within their homes.
Most definitely. And like what you were saying, like with families, it's not like they have to sit and like direct teach to their kids. It's just talking to them, having conversations with them, giving those experiences of going to the grocery store and just seeing different things. I mean, that's really what parents can be doing the first few years of life. They don't have to be, you know, having them sit with workbooks or anything.
Pulling out the flashcards.
Please don't
anything.
Do that. Yes. Don't do that. Just let them have some hands-on experiences with real life things.
But there's got to be some tertiary benefits for the parents too, right? For their kids going to school. I mean, they bring home stuff. It kind of gets you prepared for K and first and second and third, right? I mean, everybody's learning at the same time. So it's probably beneficial for mom, dad, brothers, sisters, everybody who's not part of the
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it would keep, families up to date on, okay, these are the things that I should be talking about at home with my child because these are things that they're talking about at school or things that they're focusing on. So, yeah, there are definitely benefits there.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So this is awesome so far, right? We've found out they're smarter. They make more money. Clearly, Jack didn't go to pre-K. And there's huge growth in that short period of time. So how do we get there? What does like an everyday look into pre-K look like?
So in our Mesquite ISD classrooms, the day is spent moving through different instructional settings. So you'll see them moving through whole group, small group, and they'll be going through centers. They spend a lot of time in centers where they can really explore and do things independently. We're using a whole lot of literacy-based hands-on learning. Our pre-K 3 classes are half a day, and our pre-K 4 classes are the entire day. So in pre-K 4, the students also get PE every day to work on their physical development. And twice a week, they get music instruction. And once a week, they get art instruction. So even with our littlest learners, they're getting exposed to the arts very early on. Our pre-K classrooms also, within them, we introduce our content through thematic units. So everything we are learning about in a 4-week period revolves around a central idea or a theme. So let's take, for instance, the theme from Farm to Table. During this theme, you'll be able to see our students experiencing the content in a variety of ways. They can be sitting on the carpet for story time, reading books about what happens on a farm, and then they're learning through play. So, for example, in the Dramatic Play Center, you can see students role-playing being in a store, or they might be counting coins or matching items to, put together an order. They'll be using vocabulary, so they'll be doing a lot of that talking. They'll be solving problems and learning to work with others. So in a writing center, they might be writing recipes to share with their friends about how to cook their favorite foods. The block center, which was always one of my favorites, they can be building farms and the roads to get to the stores. And in the math center, they can be talking about the different shapes of, the fruits and vegetables that they see. So to an inexperienced eye, it may look like all they're doing is playing. But our teachers purposefully plan for these materials and activities that encourage our students to converse, think, and build knowledge. So our rooms are filled with lots of literacy. There's lots of books everywhere within every center. There's labels to name things and to show students where items go. And like I mentioned earlier, they're doing a whole lot of playing. Children learn through play. We were talking about age earlier. I don't know if y'all are old enough to remember Mr. Rogers, but he was a big supporter of play. And he once said, play is often talked about as if it were a relief from serious learning. But for children, play is serious learning. Play is really the work of childhood. So our kids are really working in those pre-K classrooms. They're doing a lot of playing, but to them, it's real work. So we're working very hard this year to implement play-based learning since it's how our little ones learn best.
Yeah, I'm glad you shared all that because I think sometimes families, when we say pre-K, their mind might automatically go to, well, there's no way my kid's going to sit in a chair all day and sit at the table and just, sit and get type teaching. But that is not, that's really not even what traditional school is anymore, but definitely not what pre-K looks like. Like those kids are up, they're moving around, all day, all morning, or whatever, half day or full day. And it is very much hands-on experiences to give them those, just those unique opportunities to learn about whatever the theme is for that time.
Yeah, and let me tell you one more thing. So our pre-K classrooms, they're not ever going to be silent unless you walk in during quiet time, because right. Our pre-K 4 classrooms do get a little bit of quiet time so we can let their brains rest. But our classrooms are going to be filled with so much language, students talking to students, teachers talking to the students, interacting with the students, building that vocabulary, modeling conversations, helping them build those problem-solving skills. So this constant murmur that's happening in our classrooms is the way that young learners process, you know, what they're learning. So in our classrooms, you'll see the students reading and interacting with books. They're learning by playing, and they're talking.
All the things so, we love.
Does that sound familiar?
That does sound familiar, yes.
So what about collaborative learning? Like, so when I went to school, we didn't have collaborative learning, but when I go to middle schools and high schools now, I mean, all they do is, it seems like, and even my son who's in college, it's all collaborative. So I'm guessing you're starting that at pre-K too, right?
Most definitely. And in the upper grades, they have, you know, the TEKS, what they have to learn by the end of every year. So we have our pre-K guidelines. And one of the main domains, we have a social-emotional domain, and then we have a language and communication domain. And within that domain, there is a part on just talking with others, getting along with others. That's in the social emotional also. And this is really the base, the foundation where that gets laid. So we are teaching them early on how to be able to function and work in groups for later grades.
Yeah, I think that's super, super important because I think it develops a sense of empathy. It develops a sense of sympathy. I mean, all of those these.
Absolutely.
So I was just more curious than anything. I mean, it makes sense, but I was just wondering how big a part it was.
So. Yeah. So I think we can all agree pre-K is important. And Mesquite ISD has definitely placed a big emphasis on pre-K. Every year, I feel like we're expanding the amount of pre-K seats we have open, how many classrooms we have. And this year is no exception. In fact, we made a big jump this year in how many pre-K classrooms we have. So can you share with our listeners a little bit about what pre-K in Mesquite ISD looks like? Like, how many campuses have pre-K programs and how many pre-K students can MISD serve this school year?
Definitely. We're very lucky to be a part of a school district that sees the value in early childhood education. So in Mesquite, we offer pre-K for 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds. And we have monolingual classes and bilingual Spanish classes that are available. And in addition to that, there are early childhood special ed classes. This year marks year one of our pre-K expansion. So we have a 10-year plan to expand our pre-K program. This year, we're adding 16 new pre-K classrooms to our program. So these pre-K classrooms can be found in 33 of our elementary school campuses. And we also have 3 partner childcare centers. So we have the space to fill over 2,000 seats with eager young learners.
Awesome. So far we've learned like what pre-K is, why we need it, when it is.
Where it is,
all of those things. So let's get to the who and the how, right? What are the requirements for a student to attend pre-K in Mesquite ISD?
So for a child to attend pre-K for free in Mesquite ISD, there are some eligibility requirements. So the student must be 3 if they're entering pre-K 3 or 4 by September 1st of that school year. And they must meet one of the following criteria. So excuse me, I'm going to have to read these because
yes, you're fine.
They're real technical. Okay, so one is they're unable to speak or comprehend the English language. So if there's a language barrier, they would have to be tested at the B Center. And then if they're educationally disadvantaged, also if they are homeless, if the child is a child of an active duty member of the Armed Forces of the United States, the child is a member of the Armed Forces of the United States who was injured or killed while serving on active duty, is or has ever been in the conservatorship of the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services or foster care, and then is a child of a person eligible for the Star of Texas Award as a police officer, firefighter, or EMT. We also have tuition-based pre-K for 4-year-olds, but space for that is limited for these paid spots, and not all campuses have it. So if you're interested in one of those tuition-based spots, you'll need to visit our website to download the forms to fill them out. It's a little bit different than the regular enrollment for pre-K.
So when you say educationally disadvantaged, I'm wondering, is that something like if they've been identified through Child Find as having some kind of delay?
That would help us to determine whether or not they can get into one of our early childhood special ed classes. But this one, it says, according to our website, eligible to participate in the National School Lunch Program. So
economically disadvantaged.
Economically
families.
Disadvantaged. That's yes. the word I was looking
yes,
for.
Yes, no, that's okay. And you families just have to qualify for one of those things, the age requirement and then just one of the other items that
correct,
you've listed.
Correct. Yes. They would just need to either fill out those forms and then just bring the documentation with them. If they're part of those military ones, like an honoree letter is required or, you know, some documentation for the armed forces.
Sure. So luckily we have a place where families can go if they are ready to register. They know like, yes, I qualify, you know, based on that criteria. Or even if they have questions, I'm not sure if I qualify. So can you point families where to go to see if they qualify for free pre-K and or enroll their child for pre-K?
Definitely. Our website is a great resource. We have a specific spot on our website for pre-K enrollment at mesquiteisd.org. You can find information there, or you can gather your required documents and head up to your home campus, and they will be able to help you through the process. So you're probably thinking, you know, what are those required documents? To enroll in pre-K, the parent will need to provide photo ID. You'll need to have proof of residency, the child's birth certificate and social security card, the current immunization records, and then if qualifying by income, you'd need your SNAP or TANF eligibility letter or two most recent paycheck stubs. So if you gather that information, head up to your home campus. They'll be able to help you in the front office. And if you're unsure about what your home campus is, if you're new to Mesquite, visit mesquiteisd.org. We have this fancy tool on there called the School Locator. You can type your address in and it'll list the schools that are in your attendance zone.
Yeah, perfect. And I know it can feel even like when you're listing off all the things, like I feel like my heart rate is rising. It's reminding me of going to like the DMV and all of the things I need to renew my driver's license. But I would just encourage families, and I'm sure you would do the same. I know it can feel overwhelming. The best thing to do is go up to the campus, take what you have, and then they will help you, reminding you what else you need to bring to fully enroll your child. But don't be intimidated by our campus staff. They are there to help you. They want to help enroll your child in school.
Most definitely. They know about the pre-K enrollment process. So like you said,
yes, they're
very, yes, well-trained, very knowledgeable.
Well-oiled machine. All right. So let's kind of wrap it up and talk about, is there anything else that you'd like, you know, in general for families to know about the MISD pre-K that we may have not discussed already?
Well, I failed to mention that we have a group of fabulous teachers who are very knowledgeable in doing what's best for young learners. We are lucky to be able to meet throughout the year to continue learning about developmentally appropriate best practices. And like I mentioned earlier, one of our big focuses this year is really putting play into our classrooms because, like I said, that's how kids learn best. So we're going to be focusing on play and how we can best meet the educational and developmental goals of our kids through play. And then also, we value family partnerships. So once your kid is in pre-K, reach out to your child's teacher to see about how you can support their class. They would love any kind of support from you guys as parents.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but most pre-K teachers will send home some kind of communication to parents, right? Like a newsletter or like, this is what we're focusing on over
definitely
the next month or so.
Or if they're in the times, they send it digitally. Like, okay. I when I was in the classroom, yes, I had the fancy newsletter.
Yes.
But yes, now I a lot of teachers will send home some kind of communication or they will send out messages. And yeah, there's always usually tips on what you can be doing with your students. They'll talk about what they're learning that week. So just so you can support them at home, maybe through conversations.
Awesome. Well, yes, I will echo what Jean said. The pre-K teachers are amazing. I've been fortunate enough to meet some of the members of your team, and they just love these students so well and really want to support them and set them up for success as they enter in kindergarten all the way through 12th grade and beyond that. So thank you for the work that you do. And thank you so much for coming on today. I hope our listeners learned something. I even learned something, and I've been in a lot of conversations about pre-K, but I will just emphasize again, pre-K is so important. And we have spaces available still for free pre-K spots. And so I would really encourage families, if you feel like you qualify, get on the website, visit your campus, and do what you need to do to get your child enrolled.
We'll be happy to have your kids in our classrooms.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Gene.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Read, Play, Talk podcast with our guest, Gene Pricer from Mesquite ISD. We would love it if you would share this episode with friends and other families in your community that could benefit from this information. Our episodes are released monthly, and you can subscribe to this podcast so you'll never miss an episode. If you're interested in ideas on how to read, play, and talk together at home, follow us on our social media pages. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Read, Play, Talk, and on Twitter at Read, Play, Talk, TX.